understanding rebirth is important because when we do, it gives us a different perspective on what we do today. Because if we know that, you know, our mind stream or what we label I and dependence upon doesn't cease and go totally out of existence at the time of death, you know, and that if we know that cause and effect functions, then we know too that what we're doing now is going to influence what we become. And of course, it's going to influence what we become in this lifetime, but it's also going to influence what we become beyond this lifetime. Okay? So when we become concerned about that, then it's like, oh, you know, if I do something negative now, it's not just going to have the result that around me right now, but it'll have a result in later life, and it'll have a result in future lives. Similarly, if I act in constructive ways and I'm kind now, that action's going to have an immediate result, but it's also going to have results, you know, later on in this life and also in future lives. Right? So we begin to see that we are creating our future by what we're doing now. And so this is why, you know, Buddhism to a great extent emphasizes self-responsibility, you know, that we're responsible for our actions and we have to take care with what we do because we're creating the cause for what we become. Nobody else is doing that. But this is also, I think, good news because if somebody else were in charge of what we became, then we're mere puppets and we can't do anything to help ourselves. Okay? Because all we can do is sit there and hope for the best. Yeah? Because somebody else is deciding and, you know, if that person's in a bad mood, you know, we've had it. Yeah? But in Buddhism, there's no manager or controller of the universe. Yeah, the Buddha does not decide what we get reborn as. Yeah. But rather, we're creating all the causal energy that influences what we get reborn as. Yeah. What we get reborn as, it's not a sum total of who we are. Okay? It's not like there's a ledger, you know, with kind of, you know, pink points and yellow points and, you know, what you get reborn as depends on how many pink ones you have and how many yellow ones you have. It's not like that, okay? It's more, the analogy is more like a field, okay? In one field, you can plant many different kinds of seeds of totally diverse plants. Can't you? Many, many different kinds of seeds, all in the same field. All the seeds are not going to grow at the same time. Because different seeds depend on different levels of moisture. Some grow in a dry climate, some in a wet climate, some when it's one temperature, some when it's another temperature. You know, some need a certain kind of fertilizer. So there's all different sorts of cause, you know, conditions that surround what seeds are going to grow at a certain time in the field. So, in terms of the analogy, if our mind stream, yeah, the continuity of the mind is like a field, all of our actions, you know, are leaving these energy remnants, and those are like the karmic seeds that are, you know, being planted in the field. These karmic seeds are not material. They're not made of atoms and molecules. They're not solid and permanent. Okay? But they're things that exist. They're like an energy trace of our actions. And we can have many different energy traces in this field from many different actions because we see even in one day, we do all sorts of different things, don't we? You know, one minute we're very sweet and polite, next minute we're in a lousy mood and we swear at somebody. Then, you know, an hour later we're compassionate again, and an hour after that, you know, we backbite. So we plant, in just in the course of one day, we plant so many different seeds in our mind stream. So what seeds ripen at the time of death depends upon, you know, which ones are stronger. If there's some actions that we did that were very, very strong, that's like, you know, planting a triple-A grade seed, you know, that's like really strong and powerful and can grow. Or if we've done an action repeatedly, it becomes much easier for the seed of that action to ripen at the time of death. It also depends upon what's happening around us at the time we die. And that's why it's very important at death time to have a good attitude and to take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, to forgive the people we need to forgive, to apologize to the people we need to apologize to, you know, to generate a heart of loving kindness at the time of death, to be able to look back in our life and rejoice at the merit or positive potential that we created, and to pray at the time of death to dedicate, you know, may in all my future lives, may I never be separated from the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. May I always meet qualified teachers to guide me. May I always have the conducive circumstances to practice. And may I make use of all of this and not waste it. That's important to pray for too, because otherwise we wind up with a good situation and we waste it. Okay, so we got to pray from our side that we, you know, don't kind of fiddle away all of our opportunity. So if we have that kind of positive mental state at the time of death, that's like putting water and fertilizer on some of the virtuous karmic seeds in our mind. And then those seeds ripen and, you know, attract our mind stream to a different kind of body in the next life. Yeah. Our negative karmic seeds still are there. They haven't disappeared. Just as, you know, in a regular field, you water it and, you know, maybe your lilies grow. Your chili pepper seeds are still there. They haven't grown yet, okay, but they're there. So in the same way, you know, we could have a fortunate rebirth but still have some negative karmic seeds in our mind stream. Or somebody could have an unfortunate rebirth and still have positive karmic seeds in their mind stream. Okay? So, you know, so what I'm getting at is as the more we understand about karma and the more we see, you know, our life and lives in terms of a continuity, then the more we are interested in living a wholesome life, abandoning negative actions, you know, engaging in positive actions. And even furthermore, the more we become interested in getting out of the cycle of existence altogether. Because at a certain point we say, well, it's great to have a good rebirth, but you know, I've been doing this since beginningless time, and it's getting a little bit boring. You know, like you die and you get old and, you know, you get die, you're reborn. You get old, you die, you're reborn, and you get old, and you die, and you're reborn. You know, it's like, you know, when you're a kid on the merry-go-round, you know, it's like going from upper realm to lower realm as the little horse goes around and around. But, you know, and it, you might think it's fun, but, you know, after you've been on the merry-go-round for more than 3 minutes, it's like, Mom and Dad, get me off of here. This is boring, and I'm getting sick to my stomach. So it's the same thing when we begin to realize that cyclic existence, we're just going up and down and up and down, but still around and around and around and around, and it's not getting us anywhere. Then we say, I want to get out. Okay? That determination to be free from cyclic existence is what we sometimes translate as renunciation. Renunciation is not a very good translation. It's more a determination to be free from our suffering and the causes of our suffering, and to arrive at a final state of happiness, which is what we call nirvana. Okay. So, if we have a big perspective, we can see that the purpose of our life is to aim, you know, on a temporary basis, let's just at least get a good rebirth so we can continue practicing. But after that, let's get out of cyclic existence and attain nirvana altogether. And after that, let's also realize that we have all these other living beings around us who are just like us, who want to be happy and don't want to suffer. And let's help them get out too. And so when we think like this, then we realize, you know, how meaningful our life is and how important it is that we live each moment of our life with mindfulness and care and compassion and wisdom. Okay? When we think like this, then really our life becomes very vital. Our life is interesting. It has a purpose, you know. The meaning of life is not to make money. Yeah, because you make money and then you spend it and it's gone. And what you haven't spent at the time you die stays here and all your relatives fight about it. Yeah? But you go on alone with all the karma that you created from having made the money. Huh? So we've got to be careful of what karma we create because that goes with us and the money stays here. Okay? Like I tell people, I don't care how much you burn, none of it goes with you. Yeah. It all stays here. And what you burn only pollutes the air. Okay? So, understanding rebirth and karma gives us, you know, a way to have a lot of meaning in our life. Yeah, and for us to really feel like, wow, there's something important for me to do in life. You know, it's to abandon harmful actions, to do positive actions, to aim for nirvana, to develop a kind heart and want to become a fully enlightened one so that I can help everybody else get out of cyclic existence. Okay? Yeah, so when you realize that you have the potential to do this based on our present life, you know, that we have all the conditions we need to really be able to practice and do something meaningful, then, you know, you don't want to lie around and sleep and, you know, eat popcorn all day. Yeah, because you realize there's something more important in your life. Okay. So, that's a little bit about rebirth.